Shorter gas lines all across the triangle right now, but supply is up. Still, North Carolina, one of the most impacted states on the East Coast. What we know about our state of gas supply.
Plus, money is heading to some parents' accounts. President Joe Biden's child tax credit is rolling out soon. When the money will arrive and how much.
It's been pretty dry this morning, but already beginning to see some rain across West Virginia and Virginia. That will dive down across our area. I'll let you know when to expect it to get here.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu. North Carolina is currently the second most impacted state on the East Coast when it comes to gas shortages. GasBuddy.com shows about 57% of all gas stations in our state are without fuel. The area seeing the brunt of the gas shortage impact is Washington, D.C., with about 83% of pumps running dry there.
I'm Jeff Hogan, and although we are still seeing plenty of gas station with those yellow bags over the pumps, supply is improving in the triangle. We are seeing fewer long lines at the pump. And WRL's Sloan Heffernan joins us live in Wake Forest at one of those stations that is able to stay busy right now. Sloan?
We are at the Harris Teeter on Roger Road in Wake Forest. Here at their gas station, they are selling regular unleaded for $2.99. And if you look at their pumps, they are wide open. The fuel is flowing here and there are no lines. We wanted to get a sense of what was going on across Wake County. Photojournalist Lauren DeSarmo lives in Clayton. She started a 30-mile journey earlier today, and she hit gas stations all along the way to Wake Forest, 30 miles. She hit gas stations in Clayton, Garner, downtown Raleigh, and Wake Forest. Every gas station, except for a few in downtown Raleigh, had gas. There were no lines or issues at any of the gas stations that she drove by during that 30-mile journey from Johnston County up to northern Wake County. The prices were pretty much all the same from Clayton to downtown Raleigh, $2.89 for regular unleaded. It shifted as she arrived in North Raleigh. It hit about $2.99 a gallon, so about a 10-cent jump. At last check, Gas Buddy reported outages at more than half of the gas stations in our state. But during our travels this morning, we have not seen those types of outages. And I also had a busy travel weekend heading to the coast this week for a soccer tournament with my kids. Had no there or back. Also some family in Ohio to pick up a college graduate. Also a cousin that drove to Florida yesterday, a trip they had planned to Disney for about a year now. So nervous, and they didn't run into any problems. So as you mentioned, Jeff, things are starting to improve.
So we can stop wondering if we're going to make it home when we head out somewhere. Sloan Heffernan live at Wake Forest for us this noon. Thank you.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. And we're also checking in with Gas Buddy's fuel tracker, which you can find on WREL.com to see the big picture. So take a look at the greater Raleigh area. The icons you want to look for are the purple ones. Those indicate that there is fuel. The BP on Glenwood Avenue at 1634, updated about 2 hours ago, they had gas. And most of these have been updated around that time. On Capitol Boulevard, the Valero 4125, that one updated an hour ago, full of gas. Let's do one more. The Sheets on New Bern Avenue, 5200, that one also updated just within the past hour. So if you're looking for fuel and in need and maybe having some trouble, head over to WREL.com and check out our map. Back to you.
Much improved situation. Micaiah, thanks. Millions of families with children will start receiving enhanced child tax credit payments in July. The temporary benefit stems from the Democrats' $1.9 trillion coronavirus rescue package. The IRS will send the payments on the 15th of the month unless it falls on a holiday or weekend through December. Eligible parents will receive $300 a month for each child under the age of 6 and $250 for each child ages 6 to 17. The vast majority of families will receive the funds via direct deposit. The rest will get checks or debit cards in the mail. In less than an hour, President Biden will address our nation's fight against COVID-19. He's set to deliver remarks at 1 p.m. on where we stand when it comes to vaccinations and recovery efforts. The speech comes as his administration works to clarify the CDC's new rules about mask wearing.
Schools should continue to use face masks for at least the remainder of this school year. That's according to updated guidance from the CDC. The agency says all schools should prioritize universal and correct use of masks and physical distancing. The CDC also says schools will likely need time to adjust policies that have been implemented in the past year. The agency also says it will update its guidance for schools for the 2021-22 academic year in the coming weeks. Well, much of our area headed out at this noon lunch hour to clouds, and some areas even seeing a little bit of rain this morning. Elizabeth Gardner joins us now with a look at where you could see some of those pop-up showers this afternoon.
That's right. Let me start with where it's coming from. We have a disturbance that's dropping across West Virginia and Virginia, and it will move right into North Carolina. So you can see sort of the way it's going right now. We'll take a look closer in. You can see just a little bit of this light, patchy rain between Reidsville and Greensboro, but there's definitely more of it up to the north, and it looks like the timeline will be mid to late afternoon as it moves right across our viewing area. Now, the models are sort of at odds about how much we may see. This is a, sort of a best case scenario where we really don't see much rain at all coming through. This is 5 o'clock, and you can see between Roxborough and Durham a tiny little shower. Most of that fizzles as it moves eastward, but by 8 or 9 o'clock, we're seeing some of that setting up along the I-95 corridor. Some of the models show a little bit more rain than that, but basically we're going to see just a few scattered showers, maybe a few rumbles of thunder, and that will be on and off from about mid-afternoon on up until about 9 or 10 o'clock this evening. Right now, we're seeing a mix of sun and clouds. Looks beautiful over Rocky Mount right now. And I'll tell you, the temperatures feel fantastic. Rocky Mount's at 75. It's 75 in Goldsboro and Fayetteville, 68 in Roxborough. There's some nice temperatures out there. Hour by hour, we should hold it in the low 70s because we're going to see those showers and thunderstorms starting to develop. Even though there may not be a lot of them, it should still stay cool. But that won't last long. Some of the hottest weather so far this year is headed our way. I'll show you when coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. We are working to learn the name of a woman found dead in the parking lot of a shopping center. This is video from the scene on New Bern Avenue. Our breaking news tracker captured police roping off part of a parking lot outside a Food Lion around 2:30 this morning. A silver sedan was the focus of the investigation. We're working to find out how the woman died. The U.S. Supreme Court says it will take up a major abortion rights case from Mississippi. This fall, the 9 justices will decide whether to ban most abortions after 15 weeks, with very few exceptions. The court has been considering whether to take action on the case for 8 months. Mississippi's appeal is the first to reach the Supreme Court from a wave of state laws intended to challenge the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. The court will hear the case this fall.
More violence in the Middle East today as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict marks the deadliest day since the most recent string of violence began. All too often, it is civilians, including many children, who are the ones caught in the middle of this fighting. As Brick Conway reports, dozens of senators in the U.S. are calling for a ceasefire now.
Early this morning in Gaza, Israel's Air Force carries out airstrikes on what it says are Hamas commanders' homes, ripping apart an already devastated city. More than 190 people have been killed there so far, dozens of them children, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health. Meanwhile, Israel Defense Forces say thousands of rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel in the past week, targeting multiple cities and killing at least 10 Israelis. And on the ground, there have been deadly clashes in the streets of the West Bank and East Jerusalem between Palestinians and Israeli security forces. Some U.S. officials are calling for a ceasefire. From the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations,
it's time to end the cycle of violence.
To members of the House,
we need to do everything possible to bring about a ceasefire. I think the administration needs to push harder.
And members of the Senate. More than 25 Democratic senators and 2 independent senators released a joint statement calling for an immediate ceasefire to prevent further loss of life and further escalation of violence, putting pressure on President Joe Biden, who's spoken with the leaders of both regions, but has yet to call outright for a mutual ceasefire. I'm Britt Conway reporting.
Groups alleging human rights abuses against minorities in China are calling for a boycott of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. The move is likely to add pressure on the International Olympic Committee, its athletes, sponsors, and sports federations. A coalition representing various groups has issued a statement calling for the boycott. The Beijing Games are set to open February 4th of 2022.
Next at noon, PNC Arena is about to get loud again, just in time for the playoffs. Capacity gets increased. How many Caniacs will pack in for tonight's game? Also, the New Jersey forest fire burning out of control, the acreage engulfed, and the number of nearby homes in danger.
WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We're following breaking news. Just within the last 15 minutes, we've learned that COVAX, that worldwide vaccine sharing initiative, will have a major shortfall. This is video of one of their deliveries. At this point, leaders now say that they expect to be short by 105 million doses. They were supposed to be delivered to low-income countries. And they had promised to deliver 170 million, so you can see that's less than half. In a statement, UNICEF said the undersupply is partly due to the situation in India, which is the global hub for vaccine production. They also added that a number of production capacity issues and a lack of funding played a factor. Back to you.
A former Minnesota police officer accused in the shooting death of a driver during a traffic stop is expected in court today. Kim Potter is charged with second-degree manslaughter in the April death of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, a suburb of Minneapolis. The former police chief said he believes Potter meant to use her taser on Wright but fired her gun instead. Today's hearing will determine if there's enough evidence in the case to move forward. Election officials in Colorado are investigating an unusual case of election fraud. Prosecutors say a man killed his wife and then proceeded to vote for her in the presidential election. FBI agents say the man wanted Donald Trump to win and says he knew his wife was going to vote for him anyway. He is now facing forgery charges in addition to first-degree murder.
A wildfire is burning out of control, scorching hundreds of acres of a state forest. This isn't California or Oregon. This is in eastern New Jersey. Firefighters in Little Egg Harbor Township are working to get these flames under control. Right now, it is 0% contained. Crews have used controlled burns to save at least 100 nearby homes. No word on how the flames started. This is something many New Yorkers have been waiting for, the return of round-the-clock subway service. It started up again today. Since last spring, crews were shutting down service for several hours to allow crews to sanitize the trains in order to protect people from COVID-19. We're told stations will still be sanitized at least twice per day, the cars at least once a day. The masks are still required on all mass transit.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are back, and so is a larger group of Carolina Hurricanes fans starting tonight. This will be the largest group of hockey supporters allowed inside PNC Arena since the pandemic started. What changes will those fans see inside? WRL's Nia Harden has a closer look.
Speaking of changes, we are noticing that the signage is out here in the front. This is going to be the largest crowd they have seen, like you said, since the start of the pandemic. Starting today, up to 12,000 fans will be allowed inside the arena. Normally, the capacity is nearly 20,000. Masks are still going to be required in PNC. And the Canes have also brought back tailgating. Now, while things are opening up, they say they are still focused on safety.
You know, trying to, again, create an environment where people feel like it's safe to come into. And so far, we've been 100% on. We've gotten great comments from the people that have been here so far that we're doing all the things. So we want to continue. We want to make sure people have fun, but they feel like they're in a good environment that we're watching out for them.
Nia Harden, WRL News, Raleigh.
WRL will have live coverage of the Canes' home playoff games starting this afternoon. WRL's Chris Lee and Casey Hintz will be live at PNC Arena, while Jared Fialko is ready to hit the road to bring you live coverage from Nashville on the road for games 3 and 4.
And now here's a live look at RDU International Airport, where United Airlines is bringing back service between Raleigh and San Francisco in July. This is part of a big ramp up in flights as business continues to recover from the worst of the pandemic. According to United's website, a flight from RDU to San Francisco could be found as low as $348 round trip.
India is in the midst of a COVID-19 crisis, and now the battered country is getting hit with a weather crisis. A cyclone is expected to make landfall Tuesday, threatening western India, a region already struggling with a second wave of COVID-19. The storm has sustained winds almost 130 miles per hour. That's equivalent to a strong Category 3 Atlantic hurricane. This part of India is seeing more than 8,000 new cases of coronavirus daily. Health officials have had to stop vaccination clinics until the storm passes.
A lot of cloud cover out there, and Elizabeth says keep that rain gear handy for the afternoon for some pop-up showers.
That's right. We're looking at just a little bit of that, well, to our north and west. And it may be that a lot of those pop up north and west of us and then try to move into our area and fizzle, just like this one is doing right here. So don't be surprised if we don't get a whole lot of rain out of this, but it's definitely worth talking about. There's a lot of rain that's back to our west right now, and typically we'd be watching a system like this and tracking it right into our area, but that's not exactly the way it's going to happen. We're going to see this disturbance swinging through and bringing us the potential for a few isolated showers and thunderstorms for today. But high pressure that's actually to our north and east is going to build back into our area and put a halt to all of this moving eastward. We'll take a look at today and then talk a little bit more about what happens next. So you can see here at 3, 4, 5 o'clock, we have that chance for some isolated showers to pop up. This is the worst case scenario. In the beginning of the newscast, I showed you the one that looked really dry. This one looks a lot wetter. And, you know, maybe we'll end up somewhere in between. It's one of those, yeah, we may see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms, but it's not going to rain all afternoon, and we're not going to see strong thunderstorms out of this. Maybe a rumble of thunder, but nothing strong to severe. So here's our high pressure system. As we get into the rest of the day today and into tomorrow, it starts to slide eastward and then turns around and comes right back, and it keeps all this moisture that's back to our west and doesn't allow it to come in. So that high is just going to sit here and bring us some heat and some dry conditions. We have a tiny chance of a shower tomorrow morning as this whole thing, this disturbance kind of moves on out. But after that, we're really, really dry, and much of Tuesday will be dry. Once we get to sunrise and on past that, it's going to be very dry. So what we'll see with this system, this last little disturbance coming through, is less than a tenth of an inch. So that's not much rain at all, and that's what we're going to be dealing with. So let's jump on out and take a look at our percent of normal rainfall in the last 30 days. So what this is saying is that we've only seen 40% of the normal rainfall that we would see in the last month in our northern counties. We've only seen about 30% of our normal rainfall in our eastern counties, but about 70% in our western counties. So we really need the rain, especially north and east. If you were following along last week, our counties that are closer to the coast around Wilmington did go under moderate drought last Thursday. The drought monitor comes out on Thursday, so we'll see. Unfortunately, I'm afraid with the lack of rain that we've seen, parts of our viewing area in the south in particular could go under moderate drought, so we'll be watching out for it. Heat is coming. 73 today with some clouds on and off, and then tomorrow with variably cloudy skies. We'll probably start cloudy on Tuesday and end up with some sunshine in the afternoon. We'll get close to 80, and then we're in the 80s Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then 91 on Saturday and Sunday. Does it seem early? Does it seem late? We'll talk about what the earliest and latest 90-degree days we've seen at RDUR coming up.
Get ready for the heat. Elizabeth, thanks. It's another change in the local housing market.
You can be on our waiting list, and we'll let you know when it becomes available. So you're just
waiting lists and more. Today at 6 p.m., 5 Underside's Monica LaLiberty looks at what else demand means for buyers wanting new construction.
And in the past few years, we have seen a growing number of Asian Americans taking leadership roles in our area. At 5 p.m., we look at one woman's history and how she's making a difference in Wake County. And the pandemic has made it a tough year for airlines, and that means carriers will be scrutinized even more. Coming up, hear which airline is soaring to the top when it comes to making passengers happy.
And speaking of soaring, hear how much lumber prices have jumped and why when we come back. Welcome back. Lots of clouds out there, but we found some sunshine here in downtown Raleigh. We're going to get into the 70s today. Enjoy these temperatures because we're in for a heat wave at the end of the week. Well, tax day is here a month later than usual. Why big changes make it even more crucial to file, and how some retailers are making changes to its policies when it comes to mask wearing. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Today is tax day, and with all the changes from the pandemic, it's even more important to file. Even if your earnings are too low and you're not required to file a return, you could be missing out on a stimulus payment. You may be waiting because the IRS doesn't have your information, and families could be sent more aid this summer from the child tax credit, but only if a return is filed. Some retailers are making big changes to face mask policies following the CDC's new guidelines. Walmart no longer requires a mask if you're vaccinated, unless there's a local mask requirement. requirement. Costco made a similar move, but other retailers like Home Depot and Target are keeping the mask requirement for now. And starting today, Starbucks is making masks optional for vaccinated customers unless there's a local mandate. Delta is number one in a recent survey on customer satisfaction with airlines. It was the first time since 1995. The carrier was ranked first in the study from J.D. Power. Southwest and Alaska Airlines rounded out the top three, and overall satisfaction with airlines jumped last year thanks to flexibility on ticketing and fees. And satisfaction with flight crews soared as they worked to explain new health and safety guidelines on planes. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Abreu on the Money Desk.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants to fine an airline passenger $52,500. That's after it says the passenger tried to get into the cockpit of a Delta flight that left Honolulu and was heading for Seattle in December. The FAA says the passenger assaulted a flight attendant in the process. Crew members and another passenger restrained him in plastic handcuffs. He broke free and allegedly hit the flight attendant in the face again.
Controversial conservative app Parler is back on Apple's App Store. The social media company was banned after the violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in January. Apple determined at the time that Parler had not done enough to moderate content on the platform, encouraging the riot, which resulted in five deaths. Now Apple approved Parler's return after improvements the social media company made to better detect and moderate hate speech and incitement. Lumber prices have more than doubled over the past year, and experts say the nationwide COVID-19 lockdown forced commercial sawmills, furniture manufacturers, and home builders to temporarily shut down. That's caused a shortage of cut and finished lumber across the country. Also a factor, increased demand for new home construction and home remodeling during the pandemic.
Expanding autism treatment. Parents with children who have autism know about the struggles to make treatment more accessible. Coming up, the new push at the Capitol to change just that.
And today's the day. What's the likelihood Durham will allow restaurants to offer outdoor dining? And your winning lottery numbers on your screen, the Carolina Pick 3, 595. Pick 4, 8301. And the Carolina Cash 5, 525, 33, 38, and 40.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL. Coverage you can count on.
Within the hour, Governor Roy Cooper will sign a bill that will make a type of autism therapy easier to get in North Carolina. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live outside the governor's mansion with what this will change. Laura?
Jeff, this bill will create a new license for a type of therapy called applied behavioral analysis. It's a type of therapy that can help children and adults on the autism scale. Until today, North Carolina is the only state in the country that requires behavioral analysts to work under the supervision of a specialized psychologist. There are only about 60 of those in the entire state, and that means that behavioral analysis is very hard to get for a lot of families. The new law being signed off today is going to change that. It's going to allow therapists and who are certified behavioral analysts to get a newly created license that will allow them to practice without that doctor's supervision. It will also recognize licenses from other states that have similar licensing requirements. And that should allow, advocates say, it should open the door for a lot more of these therapists to be able to reach a lot more families, especially in the state's rural areas. The change will be effective immediately, just as soon as those new therapists can get their new licenses. Jeff?
That is the key, getting to those folks. Laura Leslie, live outside the governor's mansion. Thank you.
Makaya Thurman here in the WRAL Live Center. I want to bring you an update. We have just learned that in about 30 minutes, President Joe Biden will make a big announcement saying that the administration will share millions of vaccines. Right now, there is another press briefing happening with the press secretary. The one that we're referring to is actually going to happen at 1 p.m. So here's what we know. Millions more doses of vaccines are going to go to other countries in addition to the 60 million of AstraZeneca that he already committed to share by July 4th. Biden says that the U.S. will share at least 20 million doses of vaccines by the end of this month. We are going to have this news conference available on our website, WRAL.com. Back to you.
Makaya, thanks. We want to give you a live look right now at North Carolina's Capitol building, where starting today, you'll be able to visit inside for the first time since the pandemic. New safety rules will be in effect, including limits to the number of visitors and protective barriers at information desks. You'll also notice hand sanitizing stations around the building. Today, outdoor dining in Durham is likely to get the official green light. City Council is expected to extend its outdoor dining program through October 31st or until the state's pandemic emergency declaration is canceled, whichever comes first. Restaurant owners say outdoor seating has been a lifeline as COVID-19 restrictions limit indoor dining. Council members expressed strong support for the plan last week.
Starting today, you'll have more time to make it to your local DMV. 25 offices in our area are expanding their hours back to where they were before the pandemic. 8 locations will also be offering in-house testing for permits and licenses. There are still some restrictions for the services DMV offices can provide right now, so it's a good idea to check online before you go. If you have fallen behind on your bills because of the pandemic, starting today, you can apply for help in Johnston County. It's all possible through the Community Development Block Grant. Those who qualify for this extra aid can get help paying mortgage, rent, or utility bills. The maximum amount you could receive is $2,000. Contact the Johnston County Department of Social Services to apply.
Today, a local school system is getting recognition for accommodating military families. All public schools in Cumberland County have applied to be recognized as a Purple Star School, a distinction given to those with military-friendly practices. For their efforts, the district will receive the State Superintendent's Award. The new mask guidance from the CDC last week is meant to loosen restrictions and be a step back to normal for those who are fully vaccinated. However, some criticize the change, calling it premature. NBC's Tom Costello has more from a shopping area in Maryland.
Good day. This has really stirred up controversy and back and forth on both sides. On the one hand, a lot of people are celebrating the CDC's mask guidance that they can now get rid of the mask if they're fully vaccinated. We had a weekend in which people were out and about without the masks. On the other hand, the nation's biggest nurses union is suggesting it's premature and the decision will put lives at risk because 2/3 of the country is so far still not fully vaccinated. Nonetheless, it really depends on which state you're in. Some have dropped the mask mandate, some others haven't. It's also going to depend on which county you're in and which store you're in. Right now, we've got major retailers like Walmart, Costco, and Starbucks dropping the mask mandate for vaccinated customers. Other companies, including CVS, Target, and JCPenney, keeping the mask requirements for now. As it relates to children, if you have a child who's too young right now to get vaccinated, many health experts are suggesting they continue to wear masks and that you wear masks. And the data is as follows. 4 million kids have contracted COVID in total. Only 300 have died. And the chance of being hospitalized less than 1% for a child. So those numbers give comfort to some parents. Other parents don't like those numbers at all. The bottom line, according to the experts, if you can wear a mask around a child while he or she is waiting to get vaccinated, it's just simply modeling good behavior, and it may keep them safe as well. I'm Tom Costello, NBC News in Bethesda, Maryland.
As businesses adapt to the changing rules on mask wearing, we're tracking where you can expect to see masks and which chains are lifting those mandates. Find the up-to-date list on the WRL News app.
Well, stop the itching and scratching even before you go outside. We're talking with a local doctor about the summertime bugs everyone loves to hate, those mosquitoes. Still ahead, her thoughts on the best repellents to keep them all at bay.
Plus, a few hours here, a few hours there. Working those long shifts could be doing more harm than good. Hear what it could mean for your health long term. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRAL. Visit WRAL.com and search only. It's going to feel like summer real soon, and just like many of us, the number one pest of the summer is also out and about. We're talking about mosquitoes, and luckily there are ways to repel the bloodsuckers to keep your family itch-free. That is the goal, certainly. Today we're joined by Duke University Dr. Ke Dong. Dr. Dong, thank you so much for joining us today. And we were just talking during the commercial break that you're doing extensive research on a particular extract and how it works as far as repelling mosquitoes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you for having me to hear our recent findings on this study. So our paper is just published in Nature Communications last week. And we are studying one particular type of mosquito repellent. It's called Paracetam. So there are many different varieties of mosquito repellents, and people can find information in CDC and EPA website if you just type in insect repellents. So the one we are studying is called Parisarum. So it's a really plant extract. This is from dried flowers of a certain chrysanthemum species. So it's a natural product.
So a chrysanthemum extract, how well did it work?
Yeah, so it works really well. So this is actually a really ancient product. So it has been used to repel mosquito for centuries. Yeah, so they mainly in the mosquito coils to repel mosquitoes. So they we have been using that for over centuries and it works well. However, nobody know the mechanisms of, you know, how these repellents actually work. So we started this study a couple of years ago. So our study is funded by National Institute of Health to understand how Parisarum repel mosquitoes.
And you're finding it's very effective. How do you get this chrysanthemum extract? Is it in a spray form?
Oh, it's very common. You can purchase that from Amazon. You can buy a product. This is a very common product. Many areas of the world actually produce a large quantity of Parisarum. So basically, there are certain species, certain quantities. Varieties, you know, they are really concentrated with this repellent.
It may be very common around the world, but I have a feeling a lot of people will be Googling it now if supposedly it's going to work very well against mosquitoes. Thank you so much for talking to us about this study, Dr. Kadone with Duke University. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Get your chrysanthemums growing, Renee. Here we go. A new twist as well in the Bill and Melinda Gates divorce. What we're learning now, more about what led up to the split and still ahead, the connection to the other woman at Microsoft. Plus.
You grown up and learned that kind of thing ain't right.
North Carolina, get ready to cast your votes. NCAA&T's Victor Solomon needs your help on The Voice tonight. A preview of his semifinal performance when we come back.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. Excited to actually bring you this story that more gas is available in and around North Carolina. So we just got an update from Gas Buddy. Earlier this morning, when we started the day, we were at 57% of gas stations that didn't have gas. We've seen a big improvement, about 5%. So right now, we're at 52% of them without gas. So it is a small step. The reason this is so important is because during the day, we typically see more stations lose gas. So the fact that we're seeing some improvement is certainly good news. We're almost at that 50-50 mark exactly. Back to you.
Yeah, that road to recovery. A Wall Street Journal report is highlighting what led to Bill Gates' 2020 resignation from Microsoft.
The newspaper states Gates resigned from the board of directors while he was under investigation over a romantic relationship he had with a Microsoft employee. CNN's Christine Romans has the story.
Microsoft founder Bill Gates facing misconduct accusations for a relationship he had with a Microsoft engineer starting in 2000. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The paper found that his March 2020 resignation from the tech company's board of directors followed an investigation into the affair by an outside law firm hired by the board. The Microsoft board became aware of the affair in 2019 after the employee sent a letter detailing the relationship, the journal reports. During the probe, some board members thought it was no longer fitting for Gates to continue his role with the company, the journal said, citing people familiar with the matter. A spokesperson for Microsoft telling CNN a committee of the board reviewed the concern, aided by an outside law firm to conduct a thorough investigation. Throughout the investigation, Microsoft provided extensive support to the employee who raised the concern. A spokesperson for Gates admitted to the relationship, telling the journal, quote, there was an affair almost 20 years ago, which ended amicably. His decision to transition off the board was in no way related to this matter.
Okay, so you have to go some distance. You can't get it nearby.
At the time Gates announced his resignation, he said it was out of a desire to focus on his philanthropic work. In another report, the New York Times reported that Gates developed a reputation for questionable conduct in work-related settings, adding that on at least a few occasions, Mr. Gates pursued women who worked for him at Microsoft and at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Times citing people with direct knowledge of the overtures. Gates' spokesperson denied any mistreatment of employees to the Times and said it is extremely disappointing that there have been so many untruths published about the cause, the circumstances, and the timeline of Bill Gates' divorce. These revelations come just weeks after Gates and his wife Melinda announced they were divorcing after 27 years of marriage.
In the case of Melinda, it's a, you know, truly equal partner.
The couple met in 1987 while she was working at Microsoft.
I was new to Microsoft. There were a lot of men there. and, you know, you're still looking around, you know, you're still figuring it out.
But after about a year of that, you know, sort of to our surprise, certainly my surprise, you know, we said, hey, I love you. And she said she loved me.
These new reports come after the Wall Street Journal reported Melinda Gates was meeting with lawyers in 2019.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WOREL Live Center. We want to get right to live video from WOREL's Sky 5 over the scene of an accident. This is along I-40 at I-440, and you can see the backup there in the westbound lanes causing some big delays. They are not estimating this to be alleviated until around 2 o'clock, but you can see there at the front of that accident, you can see an 18-wheeler and what appears to be at least one vehicle. We'll work to find out whether anyone was hurt, give you all the updates on WOREL.com and on our WOREL traffic Twitter handle. Back to you.
Health leaders say working long hours is killing thousands of people a year and worsening due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The WHO global study looks into the loss of life associated with working longer hours. In total, 745,000 people died from stroke and heart disease associated with long working hours in 2016. Most of the victims were men and were middle-aged or older. Overall, it said that working 55 hours or more a week is associated with a 35% higher risk of stroke. Fish oil may not have as many benefits as once believed. A new study reports the popular supplement doesn't provide benefits to patients with cardiovascular risk. The study enrolled more than 10,000 patients, with half taking prescription-grade fish oil and the other half taking a corn oil-based placebo. Now, the results showed there was no benefit in terms of reduced heart attack or stroke in patients taking the fish oil supplements.
A singer from North Carolina is about to make a big appearance on the semifinals of The Voice.
I came on here to basically show my gift to the world. And, you know, since they voted for me, that basically means that I'm doing something right. You know, they love it. They love what I was doing. They love what I did, at least on Monday. And, yeah, they want to see more of me. So that it means the world to me, and I really do appreciate it.
Victor Solomon is a senior at North Carolina A&T State University. We've enjoyed following his journey. He's on John Legend's team. Last week, he got a standing ovation from all four coaches for his performance of I Wish by Stevie Wonder. He sounds fabulous and looks sharp. You can watch Victor on The Voice right here on WOREL tonight at 8 and vote to keep him on the show. Going to keep following his journey. Well, there are pockets of sunshine that we're seeing already at this lunch hour, Elizabeth.
That's right. We knew we were going to have the potential for at least a few isolated showers and thunderstorms. We're certainly not seeing them right now. And it feels fantastic outside. Look at that, 70 degrees. Enjoy it today because we know we have the heat coming later on in the week. But it looks beautiful. Nice little breeze. We're looking from the City of Raleigh Museum there at the Capitol Building down Fayetteville Street. Looks lovely. You can see that radar view. A couple of isolated showers already kind of in line up there waiting to come down and affect us. But honestly, down here in Fayetteville, you are highly unlikely to see it. It wouldn't be out of the question, but most of this is going to be, say, from the Triangle area northward or northward and westward. 75 in Fayetteville right now feels good there, too, with a mix of sun and clouds. And we'll take a look at the radar. Again, you can see just this tiny bit of rain that's starting to cross over I-40 right there through Alamance County. And there's definitely more of that up to our north and west. But We'll see how it goes. It looks iffy. Certainly a few folks will see a scattered shower or thunderstorm, but a lot of us won't. And you can see that will last up until around 9 or 10 o'clock. Once we get to sunset or so, that should really be about the end of it. We're going to change the pattern up after today. High pressure will be building in. You can see the jet stream making a huge ridge all the way up into the Great Lakes. And so this is where we'll see the hot, dry conditions. The jet stream is often the boundary between cooler air to the north and warmer air to the south. So when the jet stream takes a vacation to Canada, man, the gate is wide open. We see the dry conditions, we see the heat. And when I say dry, I mean we're not likely to see thunderstorms, but it doesn't mean that it won't be humid. We'll see some of that tropical moisture coming in. Back to the west, along the west coast, a big dip in the jet stream, and that's where the coolest temperatures will be until that pattern changes. So you can see here all the yellows, the reds, this is where all the heat is, and it continues to build as we get into the end of the week, especially across the Rockies. And then right along the Pacific coast, things are a little bit cooler. But this is going to stay with us most likely through the end of this week and possibly beyond that. Tomorrow, we'll see temperatures climbing into the mid-70s to near 80 degrees. And then those temperatures will continue to build and build and build until we hit 90 on Saturday and again on Sunday. 80 is our normal high, so today's low to mid-70s should feel pretty good. We get closer to 80 degrees by Tuesday and Wednesday, and then closer to 90 by the time we hit Saturday and Sunday. The earliest day that we've hit 90 degrees was March 12th back in 1990. Normally, the average is around May 11th, so we're already about a week behind, and the latest June 27th. So we'll be a little over a week and a half behind if we hit it this weekend. Our pollen count, low for weeds and medium for trees and grasses. I'm afraid that may go up a little bit as we're going to move into a hotter, drier pattern. Whew, are you ready for that? 91 Saturday and Sunday, our overnight lows will be in the 60s.
Well, he is officially Australia's oldest person, and he credits this delicacy for his longevity.
And they are delicious little things. There's only one little bite.
One little bite. We'll tell you what that secret meal is after the break.
Welcome back. An athlete for Team USA competing in Tokyo this summer says she's never been afraid to do something weird or dangerous.
I would actually pick up spiders in the first grade and chase other little girls with them on the playground.
Which sport she's competing in and how she's preparing for it, that's new at 4. Wow. An Australian man included eating chicken brains among his secrets to living more than 100 years. Retired cattle rancher Dexter Kruger marked 124 days since he turned the big 111. He is now officially Australia's oldest person. Kruger told Australian media in an interview at his nursing home in the rural town of Roma that eating chicken brains weekly had contributed to his longevity. So there you go. Now you know his secret.
They serve chicken brains at his nursing home? And that's on the menu?
You know, I think I'm good at 90 or so.
right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't
it
need
means
to eat
not
that.
Eating chicken brains. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not sleep or exercise? I don't know. A 7-year-old girl from Raleigh is making a big effort to help her little brother fight a rare genetic disease. Mia Boley opened a lemonade stand to raise money for 4-year-old Jacob, who has terminal condition called MPS1 Hurler syndrome. Mia's original goal was $150, but she ended up raising more than $1,000.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The search for gas continues to improve as we start the work week. About 53% of North Carolina gas stations report being out of fuel, and that's about 20% more stations open now than late last week. You can go to WRAL.com and search Fuel Tracker to find gasoline near you. A woman was found dead in the parking lot of a shopping center on Newbern Avenue early this morning. Our breaking news tracker was there as police roped off part of the lot outside a Food Lion. A silver sedan was the focus of the investigation. We'll have updates about who she was and how she died here on WRAL News as we get them. And in just a few minutes, President Biden will address the nation. He plans to talk about our coronavirus response and vaccination efforts, including a goal of sharing an additional 20 million vaccine doses with the world over the next 6 weeks. This comes just 4 days after the CDC changed its mask guidelines for those who are fully vaccinated. And you can watch that on WRAL.com.
We will continue to follow those developing headlines and much more on WRL News when we return with you at 4.
For now, keep up with breaking news, updated online with our WRL News app. Enjoy the mild temperatures out there. Have a great day.